Well, first of all, I really need to thank every one of you for being here this evening. And I had this dreadful worry before I started today about, do they allow applause here or not? It's one of the things that ministers worry about. So the folks who have done the music today and the singing, like Bill, for example, also mentioned the AV people, and thank you, Todd, and Mary Lynn, and Amy, and everyone. And since you do allow applause here, could we applaud everyone one more time? As Todd mentioned a little while ago, I arrived here as your halftime contract minister in August of this year, and I moved here from Seattle. And I will say, as an aside, it is nice not to have too much traffic, because Seattle has lots of it. And one of the reasons that I really wanted to come here, and I don't think I mentioned this to Deb, who was the chair of the search committee, when I was looking at your website, I saw one of the pictures of the slideshow was a Christmas Eve service with people holding up candles, and there was a tree over here, and I thought to myself, how cool is this? Here are people who know how to celebrate Christmas Eve. Because I've done interim ministry for about 25 years, 2 and 3 years at different congregations, so I've been in quite a few. And some of them have had amazing variety of Christmas Eve services. One had 3 services, and you cannot imagine the planning it takes to do 3 services in an evening. Some congregations make Christmas Eve more about every baby in the world being holy and being a future teacher. One place refused to do Christmas Eve whatsoever because, in their words, it reeked of superstition. I will add that now they do Christmas Eve. It's one nice thing about being an interim minister. Other churches sang the traditional carols and played jingle bells and lit candles of hope for the year ahead, and everybody was happy. And some just ignored the whole thing and just had Santa and gifts and jingle bells. And it was a very short service, and everybody went to the social hour and ate a lot of stuff with sugar in it. It was great. But really, what it all comes down to is a man who lived 2 millennia ago, who changed the world. With a life we don't know much about, and his ministry might have been 2 years. Jesus matters. He was one of our forebears, and we would not be here in this beautiful sanctuary without his ministry and his story. And so it behooves us to not only remember his birth, but more importantly, his teachings. Now, I will confess here that I used to really dislike anything about Jesus because I confused him with Christianity. And that's easy to do. And he wasn't Christian, he was Jewish. It was only when I took a class many years ago in seminary where Jesus' words and teachings became more real to me. The teacher was the late Dr. Marcus Borg, who was a very liberal Lutheran theologian and scholar. He really enjoyed having Unitarian Universalist students in his classes because we questioned everything. And he really enjoyed that. As I said, he was a very liberal theologian. And one of his comments to us at the beginning of the first class was, for you here who are Unitarian Universalists, I'm going to tell you what to do. We have the pre-Easter Jesus, the historical man, and we have the post-Easter Christ. He said, don't worry about that one. Focus on the historical Jesus, because that has as much power, if not more, than the story of the resurrection and beyond. He later wrote a book called Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, outlining his portrait of the historical Jesus. I would also add here that he was one of the members of the Jesus Seminar, which was a group of theologians, mostly liberal and moderate from the Christian traditions, who went through all the Gospels, including the Gospel of Thomas, to ascertain whether the words that were in the Gospels might have been said by Jesus, might not have been, most likely were. And they had a lot of great arguments. And most importantly, they came to some very specific conclusions. And I'll mention it in a moment. And I've also added, I'm teaching a class in January and February about Jesus Reconsidered, if anyone's interested. So I'm going to take a leap of faith and briefly say why I think the historical Jesus matters to us profoundly, especially in this troubled age. Consider the parables of Jesus. The most famous one is probably the parable of the Good Samaritan. I know you all know it by heart, but I'll share a brief summary. What Jesus tells a lawyer who asks him a question about being a good neighbor, Jesus then says, a traveler is going down a road between Jerusalem and Jericho in Judea. It's a dangerous road and infested with bandits. They caught this traveler. He was stripped of all of his possessions, including his clothing. He was beaten and left for dead. And then Jesus goes on to say that a temple priest and a Levite who was an assistant priest in that tradition had to walk by and not stop to help the person who was gravely injured because they believed he was dead. Jesus then says, but someone else stopped by and crossed the road to help the man who was so desperately injured. And that man who stopped was a Samaritan. He cleaned up the person's wounds, and he carried the traveler to an inn for rest and food and to be able to heal. The Samaritan gives the innkeeper coins to pay for the man's stay, and he says, when I return this way, I will give you whatever money is owed for this person's stay and for his healing. The point of this for Jesus was that the Levite and the priest were subject to a purity law that did not allow them to be near or touch a dead body. The Jewish holy code in that time was very strict about what people could or could not do. If they came over and they touched that man, they would become impure, unclean, and dirty. I would add here that within the Jewish holy laws of that day, the tradition was that other impure people included everyone who wasn't Jewish, women, tax collectors, and shepherds, interestingly enough. But it was only the Samaritan who could stop to help. And the Samaritan was unclean, a sinner, and unholy in Jewish eyes. In fact, the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other's guts. They defaced each other's temples, and they wouldn't speak to each other on the pain of death. The Samaritans were considered heathen by the Jews and outcasts, even though they were neighbors in geology of the days. Dr. Borg told us that the parable, among many interpretations, was very simple. That people who were bound by their laws of purity, or sometimes extremism, or maybe fundamentalism, would prevent people from helping the stranger, the neighbor, someone who was injured, someone who needed care. He said, in Jesus' words, it took an outcast, an unclean person, to stop and help the person who was near death. And the point of this, of course, is that sometimes being a good neighbor is ignoring the rules and doing what must be done to be compassionate and caring. So what might this parable mean to us in the 21st century? What about these days? Well, sometimes in these days, there might be a temptation to avoid those people with whom we disagree. I could think of politics as one example. I know people who decided to skip Thanksgiving for the last 2 years with their family and friends simply because they knew there were going to be political arguments and they didn't want to cope with it. And frankly, I don't blame them. But would we help a neighbor if they were in trouble who just might have a political sign in their yard that disagreed with our values? I rather suspect that we would help and we wouldn't cross the road and walk by. I would hope that any of us, if the situation merited it, would be to help and stop help a stranger in need, because those are the kinds of people we are, because we are, in fact, the children of Jesus and his story. Jesus was born, he lived, and his words have taught us wisdom and the values of love and justice for 2,000 years, sometimes in spite of the religion that was founded in his name. If Jesus did not exist, or we did not know about him at all, we wouldn't have the Good Samaritan story. We wouldn't have heard about loving our neighbors as ourselves. We wouldn't have the Beatitudes, the story of the prodigal son, the parable of the mustard seed, and all of those aphorisms and parables that we probably know really well and are the foundation of our values. None of them would be part of our story 2 millennia later. So, along with Christmas presents and Santa and all the other reasons why we celebrate the Yule and trees and Christmas Eve for the songs, let us also remember that here was a man 2,000 years ago who gave to us his descendants, his wisdom and his passion and his hope that every single one of us would be a good Samaritan when the time came to be a good neighbor, to help the stranger, to not turn away. And to me, that is one of the gifts of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Thank you.